today, many people struggle to have a strong relationship with the Lord. Now, some people try hard to be close to God, but fall short. Others are just not sure what to do. Both feel that no matter what they try, it doesn't change anything in their lives with God. But today, I'm here to help you see that by listening, obeying, and trusting God, you can change everything. Now, Jonah in the Bible is a great example of these three things. However, in his case, he didn't follow any of them, and it greatly hindered him from reaching his full potential. In the beginning of Jonah's story, we find that God commanded him to preach the city of Nineveh. Jonah, however, did not want to have anything to do with this. You see, Nineveh was a wicked city, caught up in what only the world had to offer. Jonah didn't listen to God, and instead he began to sail to Tarshish. Failing to listen was Jonah's first mistake. You see, listening is the first step towards a closer walk with God. And if we're not listening to him, then we can't be fully serving him. So today, the first thing I want you to take out of my message is listen to God. In Exodus 19:5, God says to us, "If you listen obediently to what I say and keep my covenant, out of all people, you will be my special treasure." For us to be on fire for God, we have to listen to what he says. Jonah didn't listen to God, and it ended up costing him a lot of trouble, and it never benefited him or anyone else. But listening isn't everything. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." So the second thing you need to remember is obey God. Now, as you remember, Jonah had not listened to God, instead sailed to Tarshish. As he was sailing there, God sent an enormous storm. This storm was so fierce, the sailors feared the ship would break. Eventually, the sailors figured the storm was sent by God as the punishment of someone on board. When they realized this, they cast a lot to determine who was responsible for making God so angry. When the lot fell on Jonah, he confessed to disobeying God. He told the sailors to throw him into the sea, and when they did, the storm stopped. But God has Jonah's back, and he sent a huge fish to swallow him. And not until 3 days later, when Jonah finally repented, did the fish spit him up onto the ground. You see, repentance is a very important thing. Repentance turns passive listening into action. It sets us free to serve God. As Psalms 119, 32, and 33 says, "I run in the path of your command, Lord, for you have set my heart free. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, and I will keep them to the end." You see, if we can't repent, then we can't serve God. Now, after Jonah was spit out of the whale, he knew what he had to do. He went to Nineveh, and there he declared God's message. The Ninevites believed him, the king called for a fast, and the people turned from their sin. Now, you would think Jonah would be happy with his success in saving the entire city, but instead he became upset. Sometimes we struggle trusting God's decisions, but when we listen and obey him, we find that his choices are always wisest. Jonah had finally obeyed God, but now he couldn't trust God's decision. So a third thing you need to remember is trust God. Jesus said in John 14:1, "Trust in God and trust also in me." As we obey God, we have to learn to trust his decisions. Jonah had declared that Nineveh would be demolished, but now God was not going to destroy it. As you can imagine, it hurt Jonah's pride to realize that his prophecy would not be fulfilled. In all situations, in every way, we have to trust God. As Psalm 62:8 reminds us, "Trust in him at all times and pour your hearts out to God, for he is our refuge." So every moment of our lives, we do have to trust God. Jonah couldn't come to the fact that his prophecy wouldn't be fulfilled. He couldn't trust that God's decision was fair. So he set up camp outside the city to see if God would destroy it. But instead, God dealt with Jonah's heart and showed him he needed to trust his love for the people. If Jonah would have listened, obeyed, and trusted God, his entire story would have changed. Had he listened to God and gone to Nineveh without delay, he never would have been stuck in a storm or swallowed by a fish. Had he obeyed God and preached to the Ninevites immediately, he never would have struggled with his pride. And if Jonah would have trusted God's decision for the Ninevites, he would have developed a stronger relationship with the Lord. As you can see from the story, if you listen, obey, and trust God, it will create an enormous positive outcome on your life. Today, I challenge you to change your life. Don't be like Jonah. Listen to God and follow his word. Obey God and know that he is always right. And trust God, no matter his decision. Because if you apply these things to your life, it will change. change everything.
Thanks, William. Appreciate that. I can't wait to see what God's going to raise up out of this place. Amen? Preachers of the Word, that's great. Well, today I want to continue in our lessons. We're on lesson 4 in our series of Knowing God. This is what we've been talking about. Now, today I want to talk about the God that you can depend on. God is immutable. It means He's unchanging. Again, my base scripture is 1 John 4:7-8. I thought about teaching you the little song from the King James Version, but I'm trying to get it down myself, so I'm going to keep thinking about it. But I do want us to read it together this morning. So 1 John 4:7-8, read it with me out loud. Say, "Dear friends, let us love another, for love comes." Now listen. "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not because..." Do you want to know God? Then you're going to know love. If you don't know love, you don't know God. There is a part more to our walk with Christ than just born again, is getting to know God. And that's why I've been walking through this series and these points, so we can know Him better. Heavenly Father, we just ask You for Your blessing to be upon this day, Lord, that You would work Your Word into our lives, Lord, that it would be more than just a thought, but Lord, it would become action like William talked about. God, I want to not just listen, but I want to be a doer of the Word. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many know that change is all around us? Over the past 5 years of me being here in the Detroit area, many things have changed and they continue to change. You know what I'm talking about? In fact, I've gone back to Kalamazoo, and it's amazing when you're away from a place and you go back to see all the changes. But sometimes when it's progressively changing around you, you don't see it as quick. Your kids grow up, one day you turn around and it's like they have changed. You know what I'm talking about. But it's not just buildings that change, you know, going up or coming down, but people change. How many of you believe people change? How many have ever gone to a class reunion? Did anybody change? The hair got a little thinner for some. The midsection got a little fuller for some. We're all changing. We change our clothes. We change our minds. We change our directions. We change our jobs. We change our cars. Some people even change their moods. Oh. Change is a part of our lives, and it's hard sometimes for us to grasp the truth that God does not change, because everything we know changes. Human beings, we have our good days and our bad days. In fact, we've said it to some people, they're not quite themselves today. You know what I'm talking about. But God is never not quite Himself. God never has a bad day. The attribute, the characteristic of God that is called His immutability, or He is unchanging, tells us that God cannot have a bad day. The word comes from a Latin word meaning to change. The Latin word forms the basis for our English word mutation or mutant. You've heard those words. How many remember the Mutant Ninja Turtles? You remember that. Come on. How many? Yeah. And we consider that these mutants to be creatures that undergo change in their appearance. But God is not a creature. He is the Creator. And as Creator, He is immutable. God lives without mutation. He lives without alteration. He lives without variation. He lives without fluctuation. He always remains the same. In a world where consistency is a rare commodity today, God is someone you can depend on. In a world where public opinion changes and shifts with the wind, God still remains constant. Listen to a few verses that declare his immutability. Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27. In 25 it says, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Verse 26, "They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." Malachi 3, verse 6, God says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." Hebrews 13, 8, very familiar scripture. Jesus Christ is the same what? And forever. James 1 tells us in a few verses, 16 to 18, says this, "So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession." In fact, when God met Moses at the burning bush, it was a name that God gave Moses of who he was. It's the name Yahweh, or it's YHWH. Some pronounce it Jehovah. Reason being, Hebrew did not have vowels in it, so they didn't know how and where to place vowels. So some put two, some put three, and we don't know. But God declares this name to Moses by saying, "I am." In Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." This constant, the point is simple here. There was never a time when God was or God will be. He has always been the I am. The way he is now, the way he has always been, he will always be. He lives in a state of constant being. He is perfect. He is complete. Nothing can be added to him because he lacks nothing. Now, to some people, the idea that God does not change sounds like God is boring. He's the same. They say, "Well, the weather changes. If the weather didn't change, it would be pretty dull." Or we sing the same songs every week. It would kind of get monotonous around here. And if somebody never changed, they just stayed the same all the time, life would kind of lose some of its richness and fullness. So they reason by the change of nature. They reason that God must be boring because he doesn't change. Now, I want you to understand, we begin to feel things are boring when they're uninteresting. But I want you to know that God is anything but uninteresting. God may be immutable, but he is also unfathomable. You cannot begin to fathom. In other words, it doesn't matter how well you get to know him, you will never fully know him. As we continue to know him, we enjoy him. Life gets richer, it gets fuller, it becomes more interesting. Walking with the Lord is an adventure. It's unequaled in life. There is nothing like walking with the Lord. God is only boring if your relationship with him is boring. We need to desire to know him because he and his ways are unfathomable. Now, there are other people, and I need to give you another side to this, because there are other religions, there are other Protestant beliefs that say that God does change. And I want to dispute that this morning because I believe the Word teaches He does not change. There are some that want to tell us that they use passages like this to say God changes. Listen to it, Jeremiah 18, verse 7 to 10. At one moment, the Lord is talking. At one moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I planned to bring on it. Do you remember in William's sermon this morning where he talked about Nineveh? God had planned to destroy it, but Nineveh repented and God relented from his plan. Okay, let me continue to read verse 9. Or at another moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it. If it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good with which I have promised to bless it. In this passage, God is saying, I would reconsider. But what you have to understand here is that God's purposes do not change. It is people that change. There are consequences to the choices and the actions that we have. In the passage we read, since the people change, God relates differently to them as He pursues His purpose in them. Let me give you a quick example. If our lives begin to get out of kilter with the Word of God, God will allow things in our life to turn us back to Him. It did not change His purpose. It didn't change who He was. It's what He allowed to change us so we can awaken our lives. It does not have to do with God changing. It has to do with people changing. The biblical testimony is indisputable that God does not change like men change. Our relationship with Him changes when we change it. He is constantly seeking us. So, what is the importance of God's immutability? Well, number one, since God is unchanging, nothing that matters has changed. Let me explain. All of us yearn for something that we can depend on. We want to depend on our car, don't you, to get you home. You want to depend on your husband or your wife. You want to depend on people, or you want to depend on your job that things are going to go well. But in a world of constant change, it feels like we're trying to hold on to things that are really tightly, but it's like holding sand. It just falls through our hand. The tighter you grip it, the more you lose it. However, God being immutable, we know that the really important things of life, the important things of eternity, have not and will not change. Let me give you a few. First, God's evaluation of the human heart is the same in every generation. He goes to and fro through the earth looking for a heart after Him. It hasn't changed. God has always come to look for those who they would change, but God has always been looking for a heart. How about the work of God's Spirit in a human heart is something that continues from generation to generation. God's Spirit hovered over the earth. God's Spirit has always been. God is everywhere. His Spirit has always been drawing men. How about the certainty of life beyond the grave? It's unaffected by the change in society. People still die. There is still life after the grave. It has not changed. The biblical definition of truth remains a constant in spite of public opinion polls. People want to say this isn't truth anymore. It has not changed. When it says do not kill, it means do not kill. It has not changed. It is a constant, and it's there. All of us may move to different locations and different places. Myself, it's amazing. I was born in Mobile, Alabama. I was about 7 years old. We moved to Jackson, Mississippi. Then we made several moves there. And then we I went to school in Lakeland, Florida. Then I came as a pastor up in Kalamazoo, First Assembly there. And then I moved to Canada. And then I moved back to Kalamazoo. And then 5 years ago, I moved here. What is beautiful about all that, Jesus didn't change one bit in all of that. He has been constant. He has not changed. I went from different locations. Some of us take different jobs. But wherever we are, whatever the circumstances, Jesus is the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. God's Word, like Jesus, remains a standard of truth. God's Spirit will always be our guide, no matter where we are, what we're doing. The things that are truly foundational, the things that are eternal, these things we can really depend on because they do not change because God does not change. Number two, since God is unchanging, His character is consistent. Every manager of ball teams would love to have someone on their team who is consistent every time they go on the field. In baseball, wouldn't it be great to have a pitcher who is going to go out and he's going to pitch a certain way every time? But it doesn't happen. They have to pull them and use them because things change. It just doesn't happen that way. Children. Wouldn't children love to go to their parents and talk to them and know that their parents are going to be attentive and at ease about everything? Wouldn't they love that? But unfortunately, sometimes as parents, we are willing to drop everything and listen. But the next time we find ourselves preoccupied or too upset to really listen, we change. We don't know anybody on earth whose character is always the same. At one moment, we can be attentive, we can be sensitive, we can be generous, and then the next moment, we can be distracted, hurtful, and even self-absorbed. Have you ever been joking with a person at one moment, and the next moment, you offend them by what you say? We're fickle. But God isn't like that. God's character never changes. He is never less than who He is. He never improves because there is no improvement necessary. He's already perfect. God is always wise. He's always sovereign. He's always good. He's always just. He's always holy. He's always merciful. He's always gracious. Whatever God is, He always is. There are no sometimes attributes of God. God is sometimes this way. Every attribute of God is an always attribute. He always is what He is. So what does that practically mean for our lives? It means that God will always care. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. Do you think God's caring has ever changed? He cares. God will always seek a relationship with you. Go back to the garden. It's God who comes and seeks the relationship. It is God who's searching for your heart today. It's God who's reaching out to you. You think, well, I came to church. It was the Spirit of God that causes you want to be here. It's God in us. And so God is seeking that relationship with us all the time. God will always forgive and save the one who truly repents. He will always do that. God will always defend, protect, and shield His children. He will never, ever, you will never, ever come to God and finding God having a bad day. He doesn't have them. He doesn't change. Number three, since God is unchanging, His promises are sure. Even though we're given a straightforward commandment in the Scripture, here's what Jesus tells us. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from who? Now, let me just for a moment. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything else comes from who? What He's saying is because God's yes is yes and amen. His promises are sure. God's no is no. Even though we're told to do this in Scripture, we're not always true to our words, are we? We promise, I'll be there, I'll show up, and we don't get there. We promise to check in on someone, but never get around to it. We promise to get a job done, but it doesn't always get done. We promise in church, I'll pray for you, and sometimes we forget. We promise to love, honor, and cherish till death do us part, and people can't even do that. We promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but we do nothing but shade the truth and don't tell all the important details. But God isn't like that. When God makes a promise, it is sure. When God promises to supply all your needs, He will do so. Even though our problem is that we differ on opinions of what our need is. How many have had needs? How many needs have changed? See, we change, but God knows what we have need of, and He will supply that. He promises to never leave us. If that is a promise, He won't. Even when we're sporadic and erratic in our communion with Him, He stays with us. When He promises to finish the work that He started in us, He will. He who began a good work in you will complete it. Even though we drift, we get distracted from time to time, God continues to work in our lives. When He promises that everyone who comes to Him will not be cast away, He means it. Even though in reality, we know we don't deserve anything but the wrath of God. But God still draws near to us. If you draw near to God, He draws near to us. He promises that He will not cast us away. Number four, since God is unchanging, His love for you will never diminish. We know what it's like to be the favorite of someone one moment and then be in the doghouse the next moment. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, they're my best friend. I hate you. We're favorites and then we're not favorites. We know in this world our love fades. But this kind of thing will never happen with God. He is constant. He is consistent in His love. You can depend on God's love. Do you remember the declaration of Paul in Romans 8? I want to read it to you again, verses 35 to 39. Listen to it. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? And then he has a parenthetical clause in verse 36. As the scriptures say, for your sake, we're being killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. But 37, he answers the question, no. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some of you this morning are so desperate to hear that word today. God loves you. God loves you. Some of you have made foolish choices in your life. Some have had bad things happen. Perhaps maybe you've had trouble talking or praying to God because you're ashamed or you're embarrassed by what you've done. And you don't see how in the world could God love me after everything I've done. But you need to know God knew us perfectly when He decided to love us before we were even born. He knew your nature. He knew our rebellious hearts. He knows what we've done. He knows that what we've done against him. He knows that we go days without even giving him a thought. He knows all of this, but he has chosen to love us anyway. Jesus came into the world to declare God's love. Quote it with me, John 3:16. Ready? For God so... Oh, come on. You don't believe it, do you? I'm going to give you another chance. With enthusiasm, do you understand what this means for us? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not... But have. God loves. What has diminished about it? Absolutely nothing. God made a way to provide for us a way to be forgiven. Jesus went to the cross in our place for our sin, and he did it because of his love for us. The Bible tells us that God's arms are wide open, they're not closed. God is not glaring at you. God is inviting you. He calls to us. Come clean with what you've done wrong. Receive my forgiveness. God desires to move on the inside and change us from the inside out. When we receive him, you can be sure that his love will never waver in your life. Now, it's true that God has to discipline us at times. He has to knock off some of the rough edges in our lives. But he does it in love. That's how God works. It is his character because God is love. Some of you feel like, God, no one really loves me. No one really understands me. And you feel like I don't have anything to offer the world. If you're saying those things, you are wrong today. God made you. He made you unique. He made you special. He fashioned you in love. He knows your potential. He sees what you can be. And he would like nothing better than to be able to love you and change you and use you for his glory and his honor. Every one of God's attributes, it drives us to a point of commitment. I'm reminded as I walk through these, we have a great God. I hope that you really see that this immutability of God is more than just an academic study this morning. God's unchanging character is a truth that will comfort us. It will give strength to us. It will give stability to us and also a sense of wonder. Let me repeat these four attributes that we're learning. First of all, because God is omnipresent, it means he is here. If he is here, that moves me to a commitment point to respond to him. God is omniscient. It means he understands. He knows what's going on in your life. He is not unaware. Because God is omnipotent, it means he can help you. You're not without help today. And because God is immutable, it means all of this will never change. God doesn't change. No matter where you are in your journey, in your walk, or where you're current, what the things or situations you're currently going through, the Lord wants to help you. God is the one who wants to make you new. God is the one who will stand with you through every situation. God is the one you can depend on. God is the one you can trust. And God is the one that you have been looking for and dreaming of because you wanted something to depend on. God is it. God wants to draw you close to him. He does not change, but guess what? We need to. Listen to what Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 18:3. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Folks, our struggle in life is not that God needs to change and do something for us, but we need to change. I need to become like that little kid again who just trusts mom and dad. I thought about bringing Bobby up here, and one of my deacons asking Bobby to jump to me. Roger, you want to come up here and jump to me? You wouldn't trust me. But I can put my little boy up here, Addison, he would jump to me in a heartbeat. Why? Because he knows me. He's lived with me. He's walked with me. Now, there's a certain age I'm not going to ask him to do that because I can't do that anymore. But I got to get to this childlike faith where I just trust. I was talking to Tammy last night for a moment about this. All of these attributes, do you understand? We believe them by faith. But faith pleases the Lord. And when we really begin to believe these things, I'm just at a place where why are we 1 foot in, 1 foot out? It's either all true or none of it's true. It can't be half true. I can't take the Bible and say, well, that part's true, that's not. All of it's true. So why don't I jump wholeheartedly into it and really believe that God, in His unchanging character, He loves me. About these things I talked about, number one, nothing that matters has changed. Eternity and what God has set in place, it will not change. You can read Revelation 100 times, you read it 1,000 times. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It is set, the course is set. And church, I don't know the timings or any of that, but in my opinion, things are not going to get better. I think God has given us, God has moved in our nation. God has been wonderful and God is blessed. But I'm telling you, church, we're heading toward an end times. And if we don't wake up and know what we stand on and what we believe, you're going to be deceived. I don't want you deceived. God is unchanging. He is a God who said, this is going to happen, it's going to happen. A second thought this morning was God's character is consistent. A third, God's promises are sure. And fourth, God's love for you will never diminish. Church, if I could just get you to wake up and understand there is nothing you could ever do to make God love you any less. Not one thing. God loves you. He just loves you. Yet the enemy has lied to us. It said, because you did this, God can't love you. And we begin to look in the mirror and we begin to base it on us changing instead of the unchanging one. God is love. He that's born again knows God and loves because God is love. He who doesn't love doesn't know God. Church, that's why it's so important for us to get to know Him. Because all of a sudden, His character begins to flow through us. And these four that I've talked about, honestly, those are His characteristics and not mine and never will be. But it helps me to depend on Him. In the weeks ahead, I'm going to be talking about some characteristics, though. God tells us, be holy for I am holy. Because He wants to work in us. He wants us to change. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change. So folks, we've got to change. We've got to change.